Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Recently, President Trump says that he wants to get rid of mail-in voting altogether and electronic voting. He's not a fan of that. And this is all happening in the wake of the Newsmax settlement with the Dominion voting systems and the amount of money they're going to have to pay out, because there's been a lot of talk about election integrity. To discuss that with us is the Senior Practice Fellow in American Democracy at Harvard Kennedy School's Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation. And you might remember as the former Maricopa County, Arizona recorder, who joins us now. It is Stephen Richer with us on KMOX. Stephen, appreciate having you on once again. How you doing?
And that was a heck of a long title. I'm impressed that you got it all.
Did you know that it was that long?
It sounds awful. We'll have to work on that.
Well, just say Bud. That should be on your business card.
He does something related to democracy and elections.
Yeah, that's right.
And just like the slogan, remember Maricopa?
Yeah. Oh, God, no. I don't know how people would take that.
So, I mean, before we get to the stuff that we wanted to talk to you about, you were primaried out from that position after all of the, you know, vitriol that came your way. And we talked about that last year. Before the primary, yeah. What was that experience like for you after all these people were so angry because they thought the elections were messed with?
Yeah, when I ran 4 years ago, it was a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of people. You get to go to lots of places. It's high energy. It's a team spirit. When I ran for re-election in 2024, it was like pulling teeth, because every night I would go to Republican Party events, women's clubs events, community events, but all for the Republican primary. And obviously a central feature of the office that I was running for re-election for was elections. And there's just a fundamental, differences of facts that I had with the majority of the Republican primary voters, which was about the 2020 election, which was about President Trump's reaction to the 2020 election, and that was incompatible. And so you would show up, you get booed about a lot of things when you say the 2020 election wasn't stolen. So it wasn't too much fun, but glad I did it. I lost. It happens. But then I served out the remainder of my term, which was the rest of the year, oversaw the 2024 presidential election. And of course, President Trump won Arizona, and he obviously won the United States. And so I don't know if that was some measure of forgiveness was afforded from some of these people, but it was a heck of a ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a big conversation about the integrity of the elections. I think two points I always go back to before we get into mail-in voting. One, there are certain pillars of a democracy that are integral for holding up that democracy, and that is fair elections, the integrity of the elections. And if you, President Trump saying, well, he didn't win. If I win, they're fair. If I don't win, they're unfair. And being so careless and frivolous with the integrity of the elections was so damaging to our democracy. So you had that. And two, elections aren't run by the federal government. They're run by the states, which means you have Republican election officials and Republican secretaries of states and Republicans involved in each of these states with the elections. It would be a massive conspiracy to think that Republicans and Democrats lied about all of that.
That's right. And share your sentiment as far as the importance of election administration. I felt at times like I was beating my head against the wall when I was trying to convince people that the 2020 election wasn't stolen. But I think about what you said, and I felt similarly. And so I kept at it, and I keep at it even today in a different capacity. And that's why President Trump's latest post to Truth Social about mail-in balloting really bothered me, not because of the public policy debate, and you can have a legitimate public policy debate about if we should have mail-in voting, but just the number of factual inaccuracies that were included in that post that could sow further seeds of distrust in election administration. And as you said, that's the backbone for what we're doing here.
So let's talk about that mail-in voting, because a lot of people rely on it, rural areas, older people, people who are in college or overseas in the military. How secure is mail-in voting actually?
So mail-in voting has been around in the United States for a long time. We've had it in some form since at least the Civil War. And actually, many Western United States, it's the dominant means of voting. And in Arizona, we've had no excuse mail-in voting since 1992. So we've gotten better at it as individual states and as a country. And obviously in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, a lot of people used mail-in voting for the first time. And roughly about a third of the country votes by mail in some form, whether that's getting a ballot by mail and mailing it back, whether it's getting a ballot by mail and then dropping it off at a voting location. There are lots of securities built into the vote by mail process, beginning with the fact that you have to be a registered voter in order to receive a mail ballot. Then in most states, you have to request that mail-in ballot, so they don't just send them out willy-nilly. They send them out to confirmed addresses. Then once you get that, you have to sign usually your affidavit envelope that houses the ballot, and election workers will scan that envelope in, load a vote to your profile so you don't vote twice, and then they'll also do signature verification. So there's lots of steps. It's an iterative process. It's getting better every single year. And again, we have a judicial system. We have a criminal system. And when there are, yes, individuals who try to commit some small level of fraud, people do get prosecuted. And that's a sad thing, but it's a way of life that some people try to violate the law. But those are onesie twosies, nothing widespread.
Why the abrupt change by the president on mail-in voting? Because it was this most recent election in 2024 that GOP groups spent millions of dollars encouraging people to vote early and to vote by mail. Donald Trump Jr. did a whole campaign on the East Coast. I think it was in Pennsylvania that Donald Trump Jr. was urging Republicans to vote by mail. So they utilized it in 2024, and now they don't want it anymore?
That's right. Poor Republican voters have been watching a ping pong match or a tennis match with respect to mail-in voting, because after the 2020 election, they heard about how horrible it was. They didn't do as well as they wanted in the 2022 election. And then in the lead-up, the two-year lead-up to the 2024 election, exactly as you said, Republican strategists spent millions and millions of dollars convincing Republican voters that they could vote by mail. And Republican strategists just wanted you to vote. If it meant vote by mail, great. And in fact, some ways they like that more, because then you get your ballot in and they don't have to worry about you anymore. They don't have to spend money to get you out on election day. President Trump himself would say some nice things about mail-in voting. President Trump himself used to vote by mail in Florida. And so obviously that did quite well. And it's a little bit, if it's not broke, why fix it? Because President Trump was obviously successful. Republicans hold the U.S. House. They hold the U.S. Senate. So I don't really get the about face, other than he had a conversation with President Putin of Russia over the weekend. And President Putin said something about mail-in balloting. And now it seems to be the bee in President Trump's bonnet. And he's talking about it now.
So what would be the long-term effects if they were able to completely do away with it? I'm assuming that would be a massive challenge to totally eliminate mail-in voting, and probably likely not to happen, I would guess. But if it did happen, what would that do to our election system?
Well, so on the predicate, I agree that it's unlikely to happen. The United States Constitution delegates broad authority to the states in terms of the how of administering election, which is why we have such a different model in different states. Voting in Missouri doesn't look like it looks in Oregon or in Georgia. it has some similarities, but different things are different, such as even the hours of voting locations or how many days in advance of Election Day you can vote or what you have to do to get a mail ballot. And if we were to change that, one, I think President Trump wants to nationalize the election system much more so that different states don't look different. Two, I think a convenience that many voters have enjoyed for many years would all of a sudden be gone. And then three, for states that rely heavily on mail voting, they would all of a sudden have to stand up a very different election operation. Because, for instance, in Arizona, in the county that I ran, Maricopa County, about 1.9 million of the normally 2.1 million ballots that we'll get will come in by mail. So if all of a sudden you had to have all 2.1 million voters show up on Tuesday, Election Day, and vote in person, that means we need a heck of a lot more voting locations. We need a heck of a lot more election workers. And I suspect we would have longer lines when voting in person as well.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Isn't, I know every state has slightly different mail-in voting rules, but a state like Florida, they learned their lesson with a voting kerfuffle back in 2000, and do not they run their mail-in voting meticulously? Like, they're able to count the votes. A lot of people in, you know, Republican Florida use mail-in voting.
Yeah, mail-in voting is present in Florida. You can vote in person or you can vote by mail. Florida has an earlier return date than some states, but they've been able to use that model very successfully. And yes, it does happen that a lot of the sun states that have large retirement communities were among the Republican states that enacted vote by mail earlier because they just wanted to afford their voters that convenience. And so many of these vote by mail programs were put into place by Republican state legislatures and were signed by Republican governors, and others have been put in place by Democratic state legislatures. And in fact, the political science literature, the studies show that increase in vote by mail accessibility has a small impact on increasing turnout, but has no partisan effect. And so it's not an R versus D thing.
I mean, we're running out of time here. Wish we had you for a little bit longer, because there's a lot that we can get into with you about this. But just real quick, the electronic voting machines, is there much cause for concern with them and their integrity?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've been talking about this for a long time now. And you mentioned that Dominion recently won yet another litigation matter, and they settled for, again, millions and millions of dollars, because everything that everyone said about Dominion, which is a tabulation company, after the 2020 election was false. Tabulation machines are simply scanners that read ovals. They work the same way as the machines that graded you when you took the SAT in high school or you took a standardized test in college. They simply scan in physical paper ballots that you've hand marked and they read ovals. Now, of course, they should be just tested before and after every election, but we've been using them for a long time and there is no reason to believe that they are anything but fast, reliable, and highly, highly accurate. So I'm disappointed in that.
All right. We will see you when you're in town. You're coming to Wash U to speak to the people, and hopefully you'll come by and speak with us too when you're here.
I would love that. And I guess that will be around the time when the Cardinals will be out of the playoffs.
Okay, well,
Steven,
listen,
I guess
come on,
you
man.
Guys won't be playing baseball
right,
anymore at that time, right?
And I just made everybody mad here. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
hey, the Diamondbacks aren't doing so well either, so I feel your pain. And you guys have a rich history, and so hope springs eternal.
Yeah, that's it. We're in a transitional phase, much like the country. So
But we look forward to having you in Studio B, even though you poo-pooed the Cardinals. Not thrilled about it, Stephen.
I'm just merely pointing out where you guys are.
Okay, we know. We know. We live it every day,
we're
man.
We're the home of the Cardinals, Stephen.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know you're ugly? Yes, I know. I get told every day.
No. One of the most beautiful ballparks in the country. Love it. Love the setting. Would love to go to a game. I'm just a little disappointed, like I said, that you guys won't be playing at that time of year.
Too late. Way too late. Too little. Right. Not enough. Stephen Richer.
Thank you very much for having me.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much. That is Stephen Richer, Senior Practice Fellow in American Democracy at Harvard Kennedy School's Ash Center of Democratic Governance and Innovation with us again. He is really, really good. We appreciate him, and we appreciate you for listening to The Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.